The 49ers shocked the world, went running back again in round three. Tyrion Davis Price out of LSU. We've got a special guest with us today as well to break down the Louisiana State running back, number 93 overall. How does he fit in the 49ers offense? All that coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock, Eric Crocker, and guest Damian Parsons. You can see him on the screen right now at DP underscore NFL National Scout for the Draft Network. And running back is his specialty. I want to thank everybody for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is what we do. All right, Damian, first of all, I just want to say thank you for jumping on the show, because I know that you are a running back guru in the scouting industry. Well known. Brock is always the go-to guy for corners and DBs, but he doesn't know what he's looking at with running backs. So we want to go to you today, your expert opinion first, before we come on and botch the whole thing. And I've got my notes. Brock has his notes. We're going to talk a little bit later about how he fits in to Shanahan's offense, and if you have any thoughts on that as well. But overall, were you as surprised as the rest of us were that, first of all, the 49ers specifically took him in the third round, and that Ty Davis Price went that high?
Absolutely. I was completely shocked because I didn't think running back was even on the table for you guys after drafting, you know, Elijah Moore in the sixth and then trading up for Trey Sermon last year in the third. I was like, man, they're set at the running back position. Once Trey Sermon, my assumption is like, once Trey Sermon really gets going and year two, he's going to be fine. Elijah showed what he's able to do, and he's a very effective back, almost 1,000 yards on the ground. So I was like, yeah, I was completely kind of just baffled, but I was like, whoa, like, all right, Kyle Shanahan wants another running back. But at the same time, I think back to just what they do. They love to rotate backs. That's kind of just that scheme overall. And so when I saw it, I was kind of shocked by it, but I was able to contextualize and it made sense after a while. Ty Davis Price was kind of he wasn't the pick that I expected if they were going to go running back, but he's not a bad pick at all.
Real quick, DP, I want to ask you if you can kind of go back to 2021 when the 49ers did select Trey Sermon. What were some of your thoughts on Trey Sermon as a prospect?
Man, I love Trey Sermon coming out. You know, physical. He had that wide running base with his lower body. He attacks between the tackles. He was patient. He had good vision. The main thing with him was injuries, right? Like, go back to Oklahoma, he dealt with injuries there, and that was kind of the thing that kind of derailed his success while at Oklahoma. And then, of course, going to Ohio State, and they were able to make it all the way to the national championship. And he was a big part of that run to close out the season going into the playoffs, because they kind of rode him into that success and into that run, that stretch. So I love what he brought. You know, he didn't have he had a good second gear, good burst through the line. He just didn't have that long speed that, you know, he's not a 4.3 guy, which, to be honest with you, a lot of people don't know this, but most 4.3 running backs don't make it in the NFL anyway. Like, there's a reason for that too. So, like, when you look at it, you want a back that's, if he's 4.4, great. But if he's 4.5, even 4.6, I don't really care. Long as you have a good 10-yard split, you know how to get, you know, again, at the end of the day, being or playing running back, it's all about knowing how to navigate and work those condensed spaces to be able to hit, go from 0 to 60. I don't care how fast you are. If you can't get through the condensed box, you're not going to be able to ramp it up. So with him, he didn't have that speed, but I like his lateral vision, his ability to jump, cut between gaps, and the lateral explosiveness that he did have. So I was a little shocked, you know, for his rookie season to not see him be as productive as I was hoping for coming in.
Yeah, and it's one thing if you're getting caught from behind in the open field, but that also means you got to the open field, mm-hmm. which is the most important part. So exactly. Yeah, that's a good point there. And Frank Gore never didn't get caught from behind very often either. And anytime you get a bigger back, fans go, okay, Frank Gore, third round pick, big back. Let's get ourselves another one.
Right.
Get another Frank Gore here. Like, what did you see from Ty Davis Price? What is going to be his calling card for you in the NFL?
Physicality, man. Like, he's tough. Like, a very tough downhill north and south runner. And LSU ran a lot of power and gap stuff with him, and you see a lot of pinning and pulling with two lead blockers, you know, put going and attacking towards the perimeter, which is most of the time when you see that, you don't automatically think that he would a player like that would fit into an outside zone or wide zone scheme. But the concepts from a running back in terms of vision, it kind of works for him, especially the way that Ty Davis Price operates. On those plays, he's very patient. He follows his blocks. He's a very good processor in terms of being able to identify hard and soft edges, knowing when to cut up, when to extend the play outside. And that's one of the biggest pieces of running in the outside zone offense is you need to know, okay, yes, you're patient. You allow the blocks to set up, understand spacing, but you have to identify the edge, right? You got to know, is that defensive end, does he have outside contain? If he has outside contain, I got to press it and then cut and plant and cut up. And that's one thing I really liked about when watching Ty Davis Price. And I was, you know, especially even going back after him being drafted, you know, by the Niners a week ago, like I went back and kind of watched some of him and I was like, you know what, he really does kind of fit what they want to do because he is a one cut plant type of runner, even though they ran a lot of power and gap stuff and pullers. So with him and for him, he plays around. He has that thick frame. Like he's a rocked up kid and you can kind of see it with his body type. So you don't expect him to have really good bursts like that. Whenever you see a back that big, he looks like he played around 220, 225, what me and Croc talked about earlier this morning. And when you see him run, he's able to get through the lane, get through that 10-yard window. For me, that's that sweet spot, right? You get through that 10-yard window, you can go 15, 20, and then it's like, okay, now I got to make a guy miss or stiff arm or just hope my receivers are downfield getting me some extra space. But
which the 49ers receivers will. They are conditioned
exactly.
To block downfield, all the way downfield.
That's George Kittle is going to be right down there blocking.
Primary. Yeah, that's a primary focal point in their offense. Like the receivers, you have to block. Even guys like, I mean, we talked about Richie James in the past, mm-hmm. right? He's the smallest, frail looking guy. But if you look at the effort that he gave on the edge blocking downfield, you'd see that's something 49ers definitely emphasized.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, with Ty Davis Price, I think he fits what you guys want to do. And it's weird because of like, to me, I was telling Croc this morning, I was like, man, like I was looking at it and I was like, all right. So who's on – typically when you see a back get drafted third round, it's kind of high, especially for a team that already has two young running backs. So it's like, okay, who's on notice, right? It's like at the end of the day, who's on notice? Who needs to be kind of aware, looking over their shoulder? And initially, I'm looking at Trey Sermon, like because he does the similar things that Trey Sermon does. He's a physical north and south runner, great contact balance. He will take – get yards after contact, drag defenders for extra yardage, and then especially in the short game and in the red zone, he is money. He's a guy that you can depend on to run between the tackles, push that pile. At the same time, yes, it's good to be elusive, but in those short situations, there's not always going to be a lane, so you got to be able to create your own, and Ty Davis Price can do that.
More with Damian Parson talking Ty Davis Price, how he fits in with the 49ers coming up. But first, I want to let the folks out there know about Bet Online. I wonder what the odds are. I haven't seen if Tyrion Davis Price is even on there, but if he gets that hot hand, Croc, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he could become the dude in your fantasy football league. So don't ever sleep on the number two or the number three running backs in your fantasy football leagues, and you might find some good odds there. A good odds there at betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball, and the Kentucky Derby, which is now in the rear view mirror. But horse racing, MMA, boxing, you can find it all at Bet Online. Even those Vegas casino games, playoffs, esports, live betting, and more. Bet Online is your continued source for all sport wagering. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts.
You know, one thing you talked about, right? You're like, you know, when you first noted, like, what is he? And you said, oh, he's a tough physical runner. And one thing that I see Kyle Shanahan, is sometimes he tries to get a little too cute with the scheme and guys that fit that. But at the end of the day, the thing that he prioritizes over more than anything, it's that toughness. Mm-hmm. And not just a toughness in the sense of how you play, but I think the mentality as well. And when you watch a guy like Ty Davis Price and how he imposes his physicality on his opponents, I think that's something that stands out and jumps out to a guy like Kyle Shanahan. Because when you show any ounce of kind of softness, I think you automatically go into his doghouse, and it's really difficult to get out of his doghouse. It starts with not being that, like, that physical, old school, throwback type person. So if Ty Davis Price has an ounce of that in him, I think that's what probably intrigued him more than anything. Even if you're thinking right away, like, oh man, okay, outside zone, maybe not quite, whatever. But he'll go away from that a little bit and like, okay, I just want that outside zone guy. And then he's like, man, forget that. I need to go back to what I know. Good football players who are tough and physical. I think Ty Davis Price fits that.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback off that real quick, Croc, with what you're saying there about the physicality, and that's clearly what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan love in prospects, and they really try to find that anywhere they can in the draft. And I think I'm guessing that maybe that is where the 49ers saw, okay, Sermon, like, and this happens with every running back in the NFL, is those lanes get smaller, right? And you're talking about, I saw a lot of that at LSU, where there's like there's a pulling guard and a pulling tackle, and they're knocking guys out. And there's this, you know, huge gap, and he hits it, you know, and sometimes he's able to find the crease. And so Trey Sermon is in a powerhouse program, comes to the NFL. Oh no, these running lanes are a little bit smaller. It takes a little extra second to get there. And I think if I had to guess, they saw Ty Davis Price as a similar type of prospect to Sermon last year, except they saw a little bit quicker trigger to actually get downhill and hit that. Did you see that in both those prospects as well?
I did. Like, and I think, and that's a really good point, because when you think about what they ran at Ohio State, they ran inside zone, they ran some zone. That's why I was so excited for him to join the Niners. But like you said, one of the things with him is with Sermon, he is a physical back, but like I said, he's also dealt with those injuries. And that always is sitting in the back of a running back's mind. Like, you guys sometimes make business decisions, right? You don't want to, you know, be too physical, be too tough and overly reliant on that downhill style, because you know that you've battled with some upper body injuries, some lower body injuries. I believe it was against Alabama. I think his first carry, he ended up suffering a shoulder injury, right? So it's like, you know, taking that punishment, going from the Big 12 to the Big 10, and then now in the NFL, in a very tough and kind of physical division as well in the NFC West. I think for me, when I looked at it, I was like, okay, if anything, I think Trey just has to adjust. Like, I think his second year, he has to come in like, all right, I can't play around with this. I got to stick my foot in the ground. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, I need to pivot. Sometimes it takes a certain guy's time to kind of figure that out and figure out the spacing, you know, knowing when to get skinny and when to jump cut and bounce and different things like that. But with Ty Davis Price, man, like, he already knows how to get skinny through smaller holes and smaller lanes for a back of his size and of his thick frame. But like I said, like Croc talked about, that toughness, he's got that dog in him. Like, when you see a guy that does not want to be tackled, that's a mentality, right? Like, you know for a fact, like, okay. And I think about what you guys were doing with Deebo Samuel. And be completely honest with you, I hated every minute of it. I hated it. Because I love Deebo, and I want to see Deebo out there cooking corners, man. I know it works, but I kept telling people, I was like, listen. And I think it was the Green Bay game. Deebo took a couple hits, and he started getting up slow. And I was like, yeah, you're starting to see what that running back lifestyle is a little bit, you know, what it's like back there. Because it's like, especially running between the tackles, you don't know who's going to hit you. It could be a defensive tackle. It could be that linebacker. It could be a safety coming blindside. You're just trying to get as many yards as possible. And he started, especially in that cold, he started taking some shots. And I was like, okay, Debo's starting to feel his stuff. So for me, I'm thinking about, okay, if you take that away from Deebo, Ty Davis Price is probably the perfect back to take those inside handoffs, that inside zone, that power game, and really set the tone for your offense, especially with his ability to run out of shotgun and pistol. Now having Trey Lance most likely as the unquestioned starter, which I'm hoping that's what we're going to see in 2022, you're going to be able to open the run game up a little bit. Instead of going under center, 12 personnel, single back big, you can kind of go to that shotgun, that pistol, get you some diamond sets, different things like that with a mobile quarterback. And think about what you got, a physical back like Ty Davis Price, Trey Lance is going to hold that end backside. They're not going to leave him. You know what I mean? They have no choice. They have to sit and wait for the mesh point to play out, because if they – take Ty Davis Price or Trey Sermon or Elijah Mitchell, is like, okay, now I got a 6'4", 6'5", 230-pound, you know, quarterback who runs a 4.5. now breaking off the edge. So, you know, those two backs, I think Ty Davis Price has more juice between, you know, for in that 10-yard window. I think he has more juice than Sermon. But I'm excited just to see how this whole thing unfolds when camp comes around.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just last question here on your total running back rankings. I don't know if you had them ranked out, you know, 1 to 10 or 1 to 25 or whatever. But I was a little bit surprised when the run on running backs happened, and there was a ton of running backs drafted this year. Where did you have Ty Davis Price ranked pre-draft?
So I ended up doing like my top 10, and I believe, but I posted my top 10 rather. He was around 12 for me. You know what I mean? Like that LSU offense was – it was tough to watch sometimes, especially from the passing aspects of it. But just watching him, I was impressed with him. I actually did not expect him to come out. I didn't realize his eligibility at the time. But he impressed me. It was just like for different backs. There was a lot of specialty backs in this class. A lot of more, like, especially after, what was it, Breece, Spiller, Walker. It was a lot of pass catchers. James Cook, Tyler Beatty. Oh, I forgot my guy, Rashard White over there from ASU. It's kind of a three-down back as well, which he went to Tampa Bay. So to Ty Davis Price, he was right on the outside of that top 10 because I view him as more of a just a one-dimensional back right now coming in. I think he can develop as a pass catcher. You don't have to run routes to be effective in the passing game. You could be functional, catch the ball on swing routes, be that late, that leak out for that quarterback, that last option, and then, you know, make – cornerbacks make business decisions because Croc knows a lot of cornerbacks don't want to tackle running backs in open space. Like, it just is what it is. It's definitely some business decisions going on there. So for him, I think I want to see him improve as a pass catcher. And I think that's where I kind of knocked him down my rankings a little bit. But yeah, the run on running backs overall was kind of the way it went kind of shocked me all around. You know what I mean? Like Kenneth Walker going to Seattle. Seattle's going to Seattle. They do what they do in terms of drafting. A lot of times it doesn't make sense when they do it, but it is what it is, you know. And Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller falling as far as he did was a shock as well. But Ty Davis Price, man, I think I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if Kyle Shanahan was the type of coach who wanted a potential, like wanted a guy that he could feed, potentially, that's Ty Davis Price.
And that's what a little bit of what he did with Elijah Mitchell last season, where I actually averaged out some of Elijah Mitchell's numbers late in the season. His last five games, not even including the Dallas Cowboy game, but his last five games of the actual regular season that he played in because he missed a little bit of time there. Mm-hmm. He averaged 23 and a half carries per game. And there were a few times where, although he was banged up, ribs, knee aching all season, Kyle Shanahan still rode him. So as much people, you know, they say like Kyle Shanahan wants a running back by committee, and maybe he's just like, well, these running backs that I have, they're just not good. So we had to do it. And maybe that's why I draft a guy like Ty Davis Price. But I don't know. I think Kyle, if he likes the way you run, I think he'll ride you a little bit. So
if you're the hot hand, I think so. Like, and Elijah Mitchell was hot from the moment he really got the start, like the opportunity when Kyle started really feeding him, you start to see this kid produce at a very high clip in a great way for that offense. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun just to see where Kyle, how he comes into camp, where these guys are ranked in his mind, and then how they perform in camp. It's like, okay, who's going to be my top dog? Who's going to be secondary? Who's going to be third?
Yep. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan, once he finds a hot hand, he'll ride him. And it was the same thing with Debo too, late in the year. And he was like, okay, calm down, Kyle, like calm down a little bit. So we'll see if Ty Davis Price can become that guy or if he has to sort of take a little detour through the doghouse as some rookies have to in Kyle Shanahan's offense, but it'll be a lot of fun to watch rookie Tyrion Davis Price. More on him from Croc and I a little bit later, and looking at that 49ers depth chart and how he fits in. Damian, you can find him as the National Scout on the Draft Network at DP_NFL. Appreciate you, Damian. Thanks for coming on, man. Sure.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Fantastic stuff there. Still to come, some more thoughts from Croc and I about Tyrion Davis Price and what this running back room looks like in 2022. Croc, have you gotten your hands on the Built granola bars yet?
I have not, but as someone who loves Built Bars and loves Built Bar Puffs specifically, and I love granola bars, this is something I definitely have to try.
A protein-filled granola bar, low in sugar, low in calories. I'm excited to try those. I've got an order on the way. I got an order in just before they sold out of some flavors, and they might be completely sold out of those. So you got to act fast when you got a new flavor of Built Bar, because people are hitting those hard at built.com. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. They are good for you and they are delicious. No more sacrificing taste for health with Built Bar. You can have both, and it's so easy. All you have to do is go to built.com, find all the seasonal flavors, new flavors coming in all the time, or some of the classics. I always recommend the peanut butter. Croc is a big fan of the puffs. Find all of them, build your own box, get a mixed box of Built Bars at built.com, and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Let's talk a little bit more about TDP. Did you see anything different than Damian was talking about there with Tyrion Davis Price? And universally, like every single person that breaks down prospects, breaks down running backs specifically, had him going a little bit later. So did you, after going through with a finer tooth comb watching Tyrion Davis Price, did you see a little bit more why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would have targeted him as early as they did in this draft?
I think I see a little bit why Chris Sims, which I haven't listened to the episode, but Chris Sims had him as his RB5 in this class. And that's higher than a lot of other people, right? Now, when you watch it, and again, we've talked about the draft pick. I did not care for the draft pick from a sense of value. And I always said, I have not watched the guy yet, but just knowing value, running back position, when you can get guys late. And even with him, after what I saw, I still feel like there are other guys that you can get that will give you probably similar production later, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. But if this is your guy, this is your guy. All right. So even now, I still don't care about the value of the pick. Going after a guy, third round, I think those are premium picks, or you're trying to find a guy who is a starting running back for you, or just starter in general. And if Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch tell me, well, Croc, we expect for him to be the starter. That's who we want to push, and we'll see. We're giving him that opportunity. Then I'd say, you know what? All right. Okay. Now, with what I saw, I was pleasantly surprised. I saw his measurements at 5'11", 6 foot. So he's a tall back. That's pretty tall. 6 foot, 211 pounds. And I saw a few clips that people would post on Twitter. Oh, look how hard he runs. And you see him kind of running through and just like running over somebody. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, okay, cool. You know, he runs hard. That's awesome. Whatever. We'll see how he fits. But as I watched the film, the thing that jumped out to me right away, he's much more than just a bruiser. I thought for someone who has the size he has, and I listened to Kevin Falk talk about him on Mayoko's podcast, and he talked about how he plays at closer to like 225. In that range, like between 220 and 230. Like he's a big back. And now him, his dad, they want him to be bigger because they want him to be able to take on like the pounding at the collegiate level in the SEC and going into the NFL. But he's like, dude, as long as you run hard, you run fast, like whether you're 210 or you're 220 or whatever, people will feel you. But he's a big back. I thought he was very fluid. I thought his patience was off the charts. I thought in the sense of the vision, which a lot of people had some issues with Elijah Mitchell's vision last year. And they had an issue from him like breaking out in the open field. And it's like, well, he didn't make this guy miss or, you know, whatever the case is. And I'm looking like, that's not what true vision is. Vision is kind of being able to set up your blockers, be patient, cut off the butt, make a guy miss in a phone booth and get, you know, when you're supposed to get 5 yards, get those 5 yards, right? Like don't run into somebody's backside. And instead of seeing this hole that's right open right to the right of someone, you run into the backside and you get nothing when it's blocked up for five. I thought with Ty Davis Price, when it was blocked up for 5 yards, he was going to get those 5 yards, 100%. And you talked about their offensive line. I thought they blocked up stuff pretty well. But every time they blocked up, what, like he saw it. He took advantage of it. He was cutting off guys. But I thought when colors flashed, he was able to change directions real quick, very light, nimble on his feet. The physicality in which he imposed after his runs, I was really excited about that. And what I came away with, and I'll let you kind of give your thoughts, I've been going on a rambling on right now, but what I came away with was he is legitimately a combination of both Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell. Like if you combine Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell, I think you get Ty Davis Price. And what I mean by that is Sermon has had really good patience, but maybe didn't quite have like the explosiveness to kind of get through in that 10-yard range that DP was talking about, right? that kind of like that area to put his foot in the ground, get north right now, explode up. But he had the patience. Elijah Mitchell, I thought, didn't really have the patience. I thought he rushed a lot of his runs and the vision wasn't great. But when it was there, he was going to take advantage of it and he was going to hit it for a nice gain. And he had a ton of chunk yardage runs. Well, when I watch Ty Davis Price, he gives you that power and that patience of Sermon, but he gives you that foot in the ground, get north right now from Elijah Mitchell. And now I'm thinking, do they want to see if this guy can maybe take on that role as the number one back in this offense? Because I think he gives you a lot of that. And I didn't even mention him as a pass protector, but he did that extremely well too.
Yeah, he as far as third down usage, he could play an every down role. I think he seemed to catch the ball fine. You know, not hardly any running backs in college get utilized a lot unless they get utilized as a specific gadgety player. So it's kind of hard.
Like you talked about James Cook, running back out of Georgia. It was right. they specifically wanted to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
In the passing game.
That was what was strange about this whole draft class. Is he James Cook? I thought was going to go much later. He went in the late second round. And so after Breece Hall and Ken Walker went one and two, those were the two like main every down backs. And then starting in round two, and we saw it in round three, they were a bunch of committee backs getting drafted pretty high. And I think that's exactly what Tyrion Davis Price is going to be with the 49ers, is a committee back. Is he going to have the big piece of that pie, or is he going to just be a short yardage back? And I think that is a big question on usage and how valuable he'll be with that third round pick. But I think the scouting report is pretty easy. I think I've seen the same exact thing as both you and Damian have talked about. He's really thick, runs behind his pads, you know, prefers the bully ball method, and would prefer to run through defenders than around them, especially on the second level. Like he's got good feet, can be a little creative behind the line of scrimmage and find that hole. Doesn't really hit the cutback a lot. Most of it's just on the front side of the play, and he follows those big blockers. And you know, there was actually more holes than I expected, because people were talking about how bad LSU has become. They did a pretty good job running the ball there, I thought. And
yeah,
there was big dudes up front and they were creating some holes for him, and he was finding them. So use those good feet behind the line, then hits it. Then once he hits it, there's no more creativity. He's going forward, and if you're in the way, he'll go over you and through you. And solid effort and pass protection too. So he could see the field early, because I think he'll be fine in pass pro. And at the very least, he'll have value as a short yardage back. He should in the NFL, because he can find the crease and he's got that power. He's got the willingness.
And he keeps those legs turning.
Yes.
And that was one thing that I was excited to see. You talk about somebody running behind their pads. And there were a few runs. You and I, we kind of watched this rep together earlier. And you're like, man, that's kind of some Frank Gore stuff, where you see him. And when he gets the ball and he looks at the line of scrimmage, he has a shoulder square to the line of scrimmage. And it looks like, oh, well, there's a hole right there. And he starts pressing towards that hole. And then you see color flash. And basically color flashing, that's a defender kind of walling off that area. And he just right away, instead of just running into that and maybe only picking up 3 yards on the carry, he put his foot in the ground and then got skinny to get through a hole. And once he squeezed through there, now it's like, I'm one-on-one with you. It's me and the safety. And then he just, boom, right, runs through the safety and kind of keeps those legs turning. You could tell, like, people, like, it's like, man, we don't want to tackle him. Like, you tackle him. I don't want to tackle him. I think that's something that's definitely going to excite the 49ers, especially as they go towards, you know, having some of those inside zone type runs. He's going to probably excel at that. And I think that's what they wanted from Trey Sermon, and maybe didn't quite get the nastiness that they would like. And this is a guy who, like Trey Sermon, like, has that physicality and, you know, short air, whatever, that change of direction, nice little bounce in the step. But he ran a 4.48. And not saying, like, you know, he's this blazing guy, but you can tell when he gets out on the open field, like, he can run. Like, he can really run. And, you know, that speed plus the mass, and you're staring at a defensive back, they don't want to see that. Like, DBs don't want to see someone big and strong running at them, and that person is fast. And I remember being on Twitter the other day, and someone was like, oh, the corner, if the corner doesn't want to tackle that back, like, he's in the wrong profession. And I'm like, dude, 95% of cornerbacks don't want to tackle a big-ass running back coming off the edge full speed running at them. Like, they don't. Like, there are very few. Jalen Ramsey maybe wants that action, and there might be a couple other, but for the most part, corners don't. you know, safeties too. As you see them come up and hit guys, but when a guy has that straight line at you and you don't really have that angle to kind of soften the blow, guys don't really want that action like that.
Yeah, we know corners, they can't catch and they can't tackle. Like that's a well-known fact.
Here you go.
looking at Ty Davis Price, it's funny because a lot of his strengths also are kind of weaknesses. It's like it's both in one. So he wants to bully you. And remember we were talking about with Tariq Castro Fields talking about his jam at the line of scrimmage. He wanted to bully guys and get both their hands on them and control them. And I see that in pass protection with Ty Davis Price as he just really leans into him fully. And a good pass rusher just kind of goes whoop and lets him take his own momentum away from him. Or he will kill you because he's just trying to crush you and he's leaning forward. He does that as a runner too. And guys can just come in and swipe his legs out and take him down easier than he should go down. So I think it affects his balance, even though he's a pretty balanced runner. He's so charging forward and leaning forward that it can crush people if he gets you and you're on the train tracks when he's coming, but it also hurts his balance at times because guys can come in and take him out at the legs and take him out below, and it works against him in pass pro, or he has a really great rep where he bullies you. So in some ways I would like to see him try to bully less, because I think the bully side of things is going to happen less often probably in the NFL. Right. Kind of gets over his skis a little bit is what I call it. And you see that with some players, they're just kind of run a little too forward. So he's fast for his size, but we mentioned the weight. He was listed at 234, I think. Like, he was playing big. At the combine, he shows up at 211 pounds to run that 4.48. So how big and how fast is he really? And what's going to be his playing weight in the NFL? So I have questions there. Is he going to be a 4.48 guy and run at 211? I don't think he's going to be, because I think he got down to run. And we see that with a lot of players.
We saw that with Elijah Mitchell, right? Yeah. Remember, we said that, like, because Elijah Mitchell, I believe he at the Senior Bowl was 218. And then like, or 215. It was something like that. 215, yeah. 216 in that range. And then 2 weeks later at the combine, or 3 weeks later, whenever that was at the combine, he was 201 pounds. Yep. I'm like, this is not a 201 pound back. And you can see it on film. And he ended up running at his pro day, because they didn't have combines. My bad. So they didn't have combines that year, but they had pro days. Yep. And he ran a 4.38 or something like that. 4.39. Yep. People are like, oh, we got this small, fast back. I'm like, yeah, I watched it do on film. He's not small. Now, he definitely had some speed and he can run away from some guys. But I think that is kind of like Ty Davis Price, where I do think Ty Davis Price has good speed. When I watch him and he can kind of run away from some, if he has you beat on the angle, he can run away. But it's not like Deebo Samuel, right, where like Deebo Samuel just kind of outruns guys somehow for a guy who runs 4.48.
I would say there's some – I wouldn't say he was really ever outrunning any angles or – And he did.
No, I said he's not going to outrun angles.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So that's why I say he's like fast for his size, but he's not really fast. And it's funny because Elijah Mitchell's 215, and Ty Davis Price shows up at the combine at 211. They're very different shaped backs. Like, one guy is bigger than the other. Period. Right. Ty Davis Price at 211 is bigger than. So So that's why it's hard for me to know exactly. And at Ty Davis Price's pro day, he was already back up to 219 at his pro day. So I think he's going to be a 220 pound back. That's what he is. That's what he looks like on tape. And so I think he's going to look more like whatever his weight was at LSU, more so than whatever we saw at the combine. So, you know, 4.5s, plenty of speed for a guy. But I think that's what we're going to see, a 220 pound back that has some build up speed, but, you know, isn't a burner or anything like that, but can still make plenty of big runs because of what Damian was talking about, which is the most important thing is, you know, what he can do in the first 10 yards of a run. He
reminded me of a back. Do you have a back in your head where you're like, hey, this kind of,
well, when I saw him absolutely obliterate Leon O'Neal, who, by the way, was signed as an undrafted free agent, the Texas A&M safety, I was thinking of, do you remember Greg Jones back in the day?
Florida State,
like, kind of, he was a tailback for them, but it became a fullback in the NFL. One of the craziest runs I've ever seen as far as just an offensive player crushing a defensive player was Greg Jones against, I believe it was a guy who played in the NFL against North Carolina, but I don't remember the player's name right now, but that's an amazing highlight.
When he like knocked his helmet off.
Well, he crushed him and it was just like amazing. And so he
reminded me of David Montgomery. Like, when I was watching him, I'm like, man, he has a lot of David Montgomery. And for those of you who don't know David Montgomery, he's a running back for the Chicago Bears. And Montgomery, watching him, I just remember, man, he kind of reminds me of Kevin Barlow. Like, you see kind of that run style, being light on your feet and having some shiftiness for a big back.
Yeah.
And then you watch Ty Davis Price, and he has some of that, and I think he finishes well. Well, he's faster than Montgomery, but they are similar size. Montgomery is 5'11", 224 pounds. Obviously, we talk about Ty Davis Price being 6 foot, you know, north of 220, but still having that lightness on their feet, having kind of that bounce in their step, but being able to still run with that physicality. And I think for Montgomery, once he figured out how to run in the NFL, you saw him improve greatly last season, because his rookie year wasn't great, and he had a lot of opportunity. And then last season, you see him like start to come into his own, and he ends up averaging over 4 yards per carry. He ends up being a 1,000-yard rusher as well. Or not last year, excuse me. He did that in 2020. Last year took a little bit of a step back in the sense of his yards per carry. But you just saw him have more big games. You any game you watch and you'll be like, oh, man, like he's having a big game. I see a lot of Ty Davis Price in his type of like running style.
I love the Kevin Barlow thing. And I think that's perfect because, you know, he's kind of a little taller Montgomery in the way that they, and I, my initial thought of when I first started watching Ty Davis Price was that he swerves. He's not a, I wouldn't call him twitchy. He's fast for his size and he's got good feet, but he's not bursty necessarily. It's more of a swerve with the way he moves, and it's a subtle movement. And Kevin Barlow,
you're not gonna say he's LeSean McCoy,
right? Yeah, exactly. Yes, you can have good feet and not be extremely twitchy and bursty, and so he's not gonna run the same way Deebo Samuel does when he has the ball, or not even the same way that when Elijah Mitchell hits it and has better top speed. You're like, okay, that's fast. Ty Davis Price is fast for his size and has good feet, but he's not necessarily a twitchy back. And you know, he only had like a 30-inch vertical at the combine, and his short shuttle and three cones were not good either. You know, he's a run through you. He's like, let me, before I'm up to full speed, let me find the hole. Okay, now I'm going to go fast and not cut anymore and go through you. So that's a pretty no-nonsense style, and I like it.
That's what they're going to like. Just a guy that can, if he has a patient, he sees it. Like, they don't want a guy dancing around and things like they want you to put your foot in the ground and get north right now. I just like what I like. And in the process of getting north right now, he had nice swerve, as you call it. Okay, I'm getting north, and oh, there's a color flash right there. Let me swerve here and then knife upfield and pick up another 3-4 yards. I think he did a terrific job of doing that.
Swerving to Vervin Davis Price. That's his nickname now. So yeah, but here's the thing, and this is what I saw with Sermon last year, and I didn't love the Sermon trade up. I didn't like the value of drafting Sermon last year, and I feel very similar about Ty Davis Price this year as I felt the Sermon last year. And again, watching him play, okay, a lot of inside zone stuff, but he kind of labors a little bit to get out to that outside zone. And that is still the bread and butter, is the wide zone. But clearly the 49ers are trying to force this thing and get more physical. They've drafted a third round bigger running back and two offensive linemen in back-to-back years. So they're trying to do something here. And I haven't seen the vision come to fruition yet, because guess what? It was the faster running back that ended up being the dude last year for the 49ers. And it was the explosive burst of Deebo Samuel that ended up being the dude that last year for the 49ers. And it wasn't the bigger inside zone runner, the power runner. So I'm still not seeing what that vision that they're trying to force in the offseason. I haven't seen that happen in the regular season yet, but clearly they want to do that. And clearly their plan is to protect their young quarterback by running the football. So maybe they're just like, look, there's going to be 25% more carries anyway. So even if Ty Davis Price is part of a committee with Elijah Mitchell, he's still going to see the ball a lot. And obviously there's injuries at the position as well. So that's the questions I have, is how is he going to look in the outside zone stuff? And is he going to be more than just a committee, you know, short yardage back in the NFL? Where does he rank on the depth chart for you? Let me read through the 49ers' current running backs in case anybody out there forgot. We got Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson coming back off injury, Jamichael Hasty, Trey Sermon, and now adding Tyrion Davis Price to the mix. And they brought in a college free agent by the name of Jordan Mason, who I have not watched at all, and I don't know what to expect from him, but Georgia Tech running back. He's 5'11", 217 pounds. Again, some thickness there. And so, and we know we've seen undrafted free agent running backs do really well. So maybe we should look a little deeper into Jordan Mason, Croc. But Tyrion Davis Price, where do you see him in that group? Is he going to jump up ahead of both Sermon, the third rounder from last year, and maybe the most similar player on the roster currently in the way he runs, Jeff Wilson? Do you see Elijah Mitchell, Wilson, Sermon being the committee with Davis Price and Jermichael Hasty sort of battling for the scraps there? How do you see this thing as far as the depth chart goes at running back?
It's interesting because kind of like Cashel Fields, where I was like, you know, after watching him, I'm like, this, he's a slightly better prospect than what I saw from Ambry Thomas. And I liked Ambry Thomas, but I just thought, like, you know, Cashel Fields, slightly better prospect. And I kind of see the same thing with Ty Davis Price, and not just Trey Sermon, but Elijah Mitchell as well, where I think he is the slightly better prospect. Now, you still have to figure out how you're going to run in the 49er scheme and understand what Kyle Shanahan wants. And we know how Kyle Shanahan gets. If it's not exactly how he wants it, you just won't see the field. And we saw that with Trey Sermon as well. But I think there's an opportunity for him to be the guy. But right now I'm leaning towards Elijah Mitchell. And I think with Ty Davis Price, it's him and Sermon for kind of being that inside zone runner who's going to take control of that. And Trey Sermon right now, for whatever reason, hopefully he continues to work his butt off, because Kyle Shanahan, I think he does this a lot. One, he's creating competition. But two, he's looking for any reason to replace you. And that's just the NFL as well. That's just how the NFL works.
One difficult thing for Ty Davis Price to get on the field is if he doesn't go out in camp and win, you know, say the number two running back job or something like that. There might be some games he doesn't suit up because he didn't play special teams in college. And is there going to be enough of a role for him as a short yardage back if he's behind already some bigger backs, like if it's either Jeff Wilson or Trey Sermon or both? So that would be like the disappointing side of a third round running back, and you show up to week one and it's like, oh, where's this guy? He's not even got a uniform on this week. Or it could be the other way around, where everyone's drafting Elijah Mitchell in their fantasy football leagues, and you show up and Tyrion Davis Price gets the most carries on the team. So this could go a lot of directions, and you never really know how it's going to be for a rookie. And one thing that does worry me, though, so check the box for physicality, right, for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. That is there for sure with Tyrion Davis Price. But there was some reports about him being not that committed of a player in college, like very hot and cold. And you see his stats, and his stats are very hot and cold. And he was a committee running back in college until his last year. He never had more than 400 yards in a season before his junior year, before he left early. So there's some questions there about work ethic with him. And so that does worry me a little bit. And is his weight part of that too? You know, and now he's training for the combine, drops 20 pounds. Like that's and I kind of had some questions with Drake Jackson too. He's like, you don't gain 20 pounds in 2 weeks. Like, how does that happen? You know, and these guys both are able to drop weight and add weight that quickly. And clearly I'm not good with nutrition. I'm sure that's part of it. I don't understand how it all works to be able to do that, but it's like, okay, like 230 might be a little big, 211 might be a little small. Let's be a rocked up 220. How about that?
Kevin Falk talked about him having a daughter and how that like did something to him, like in a positive light. So there is that aspect of it where maybe he just felt this, got this different level of kind of sense of urgency, I guess you could say. And, you know, prior to that, he did have a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire over him. And sometimes, it depends on the person. But, you know, you're in college football and you see a lot of guys transferring now because they're not getting their way. And you come in as this prospect who's from Baton Rouge, and it's like everybody's seen you grow up, and it's like, oh, that's the guy. Then you get to LSU, which is probably a dream of yours, but you're playing behind this 5'6" running back. And it's like, all right, man, I kind of got to wait my turn. And yeah, maybe he didn't do everything he could. And then he's like, okay, last year, hey, guy, this is your chance. You know, I believe it was only his junior year. But all right, this is your chance to be the guy. And you could change your life forever if you have a great year. And he's like, yes, sir. And he turns it on and, gets a positive outcome from it. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know. You know, but there is that aspect to it.
All right, we're way over time here. We got to get out of here, but we had to go deep dive into Tyrion Davis Price, the 49ers' third round running back in 2022. Real quick, Croc, if you had to put money on the top four running backs in rushing yards for the 49ers this year, what order would you put them in, 1 through 4?
Oh, man, I feel like I'm going to give a cop-out answer, so I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to live life on the edge a little bit. I'm going with the odds. I'm going to go Ty Davis Price at 1, Elijah Mitchell at 2, Jeff Wilson at 3, and then give me Trey Sermon at 4.
I was going to have the same order except for with, well, actually, no, my order is going to be Elijah Mitchell 1, Ty Davis Price 2, Sermon 3. But I tell you what, in my fantasy football leagues, depending on how high Mitchell and Davis Price go, running back 3 is the Kyle Shanahan back. Like, that is the one that makes you money. The very last pick in my leagues, little Trey Sermon. And I'll drop him after week 1 if he's not involved. But
I think Ty Davis Price is going to be – I don't think he's going to get drafted all that high.
I think there might be a hype – there might be enough hype around him where Mitchell falls to a level where he's a bargain. Or the opposite, where everyone drafts Mitchell like he's the running back 1, then Ty Davis Price is the bargain. But
that's what happened last year with Sermon and Elijah Mitchell. A lot of people were drafting Sermon higher than Mostert or around there. And Elijah Mitchell was the one that was going undrafted or really late. And he was kind of the value guy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I think clearly what this signifies is the 49ers think they're going to use this guy a lot. And I think it'll be a 1-2. It's going to be Mitchell and Davis Price and a lot of both of them and not many carries for anyone else. That's the way I kind of really see it happening. All right, good stuff. We went long. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and talking running backs. We are going to continue our scouting reports for the 49ers rookie class. We keep pushing off Drake Jackson. We talked a lot about him before the draft, so of the guys that Niners drafted, we talked about him the most. But we are going to get to him later on this week. But we do have Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus joining us to talk about the 49ers rookie class on tomorrow's episode, then a Winky Wednesday. Then we'll go Drake Jackson scouting report in the defensive end position Thursday. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. Back tomorrow, right here, Locked On 49ers.